Welcome to Indonesia Digital Deconstructed, where we break apart and dive deep into the different parts of the Indonesian tech scene to get an insider's look into how each space is evolving. Leveraging off our research, proprietary insights, and working with leading entrepreneurs, we'll bring you the insider's view of the industry as we navigate our way around one of the world's fastest growing tech scenes. All right, everyone, welcome back to IDD. Let's get to the news. So this story is interesting to us because it does kind of tie into our previous topic, which was the recent TikTok shop regulation in Indonesia. Now, Indonesia's JNT Express went public on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange about 1 week ago. And it had, you know, part of its narrative really was that it was the delivery service for e-commerce players. And it really kind of tied itself to TikTok Shop and also Pinduoduo in China. So the company had earlier aimed to raise at least $1 billion US dollars via this Hong Kong IPO in the second half of 2023, but then it cut its ambition in half down to $500 million out of likely fear of investor aversion following years of IPO underperformance in China, right? So Adrian, were you following this closely, you and the team? What are your thoughts right off the bat?
So I think, first off, I think it's worth saying that the JNT story, a company by, I guess, a Chinese executive that came to Indonesia around kind of mid kind of 2000, I think 2015 or something, to set up the Oppo mobile business in Indonesia, then left to build over the ensuing 7-8 years an Indonesian success story. Helps to highlight a couple of things. One, it's an incredible story of entrepreneurship. But two, also it goes on to illustrate the scale and attraction of the Indonesian market, right? This is a company that was the newest logistics company in Indonesia that grew with the market, especially with the e-commerce boom, came on to compete with and in fact dominate some of the traditional players in Indonesia, and then went on to control, I think, something like a fifth of Southeast Asia e-commerce parcel volume. From that as a starting point, it went on to then enter the Chinese market. And everyone knows how competitive the Chinese market is. And here's what's essentially what was at least a foreign kind of Indonesian-born company going into China, mainland China, and competing with, you know, the incumbent players in China, which I think is quite a remarkable feat. So I think I'm not intimate with the precise story of Li Jie, or Jet Li as he's known, on how he built the company in Indonesia. But certainly, I think it is a testament to strong tales of entrepreneurship, the scale of the market, how timing has helped, and now, you know, has gone on to this remarkable feat of penetrating the China market and actually using the proceeds to expand new markets. I believe they're going into the UAE and to the Middle East as well. Comments about valuation, I think you mentioned. So it's an extremely challenging IPO market this year. All the so-called debut listings in the US, I think they've traded flat or gone down, right? The big companies, Instacart, for example, Arm as well. I think you mentioned this is the second largest listing in Hong Kong to date in 2023.
Second largest after the Chinese liquor company ZJLD Group. Cutting valuation, JNT cut its valuation from $20 billion to $13
billion. Yeah. And it's no surprise, actually, because probably listing in Hong Kong is to appeal to some of the more, so the investors who want to see into the China story. But you know, China is in the doldrums right now. The economy is under quite a lot of pressure. And so that's not surprising. I think the other filter and perspective to look at this from is, you know, actually this IPO represents a significant down round from the last round. I'm not clear what the multiples, we can look into the IPO file and see what the multiples were on that. But we know that many asset values all around, not just in technology, were highly inflated. And it wasn't unusual to see high single digit multiples of revenue, right? And at least, you know, while this may represent almost a 50% haircut to that last valuation. That is the process of price discovery as companies go public. And I think right now it looks like it's trading just below 2x. And this is a company that I don't believe is fully profitable yet. It may have, I think it says that Southeast Asia operations are profitable, but China, again, is one of these markets where there can be intense price competition. And that may, it may continue to need to raise funds through this IPO in order to fund those operations in China. So, is it, what is it fairly valued at 1.8? I don't know. We'd have to look at some of the comps, whereas perhaps where international logistics companies trading right now, these types of businesses, they're not terribly high margin. So it wouldn't surprise me it's closer to one versus this two times sales, which they are at. So there may continue to be some pricing pressure around this company now that it's public. Though, and we'd also have to look at trading volume, what that's like at the moment.
Yeah, I imagine that it's not as robust as it was in previous years. Companies have raised just $3.5 billion from Hong Kong listings this year. That's down almost 70% from a year ago and on track to be the lowest annual total in two decades, as hopes for a steady stream of IPOs from China have been dashed by the country's sluggish economy and rising geopolitical risk. The main stock market index in the city of Hong Kong has also dropped by over 8% this year. So that can kind of give you a clue as to investor sentiment, trading volumes, and kind of the state of the Hong Kong exchange right now. But I do agree with you that it is very interesting to see a player from outside of the China market come in and compete with such a well-oiled e-commerce ecosystem that already exists, with the logistics players that already kind of have a grip on the market. So I want to kind of jump back and discuss what this means for Indonesia. I think if we took a look at our last discussion about TikTok and whether or not JNT's association with TikTok affected or dampened investor sentiment on the eve of this IPO, I think in the long term, if we're looking at just Southeast Asia, I think its diversified client base, I mean, it works with Shopee, it works with Tokopedia and all of the main incumbent e-commerce platforms here in the market. I think that's a win for JNT. Despite regulatory hiccups, the ASEAN market still holds immense growth potential, right? And if it's working with these players already, I think that, it'll be on good footing for future growth. And hopefully, that can translate to a success story in the long term with its stock price and valuation as well.
You've obviously seen, when you link it back to last week, TikTok has had to shut their e-commerce operations. So to the extent that JNT was a preferred provider of logistics to TikTok, and that volume has been shut down in Indonesia, which was significant, that could be one of the, could be a dampener on its near-term growth. And unless it therefore diversifies, which it can, to taking up more volume via the other platforms, Tokopedia, Bukalapak, Shopee, for example, then that could be quite a big revenue gap for the company. If they were handling the majority of TikTok's e-commerce logistics and fulfillment in Indonesia, at least. But I think on the regulatory side, the other thing that should point out, and they mentioned this in their IPO prospectus as Indonesia risk, the company, while it was started as an Indonesian company, I believe it's now headquartered in China, Shanghai. And so there has been some restructuring of the organization. And as we know, logistics in Indonesia is one of the restricted business industries, right, where you cannot have more than 49% foreign ownership. Some opaqueness, or it's not completely clear how that's happening. And so there are some potential legal risks around their ongoing Indonesian operations, would seem, right, from that perspective. I don't have the precise details around that, but certainly it can represent a risk, especially as Indonesia, when it comes to e-commerce, is the most significant market in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, even if they are in the clear, legally speaking, they're going to need to address the global investor class and allay any concerns that they may have, right? Because now they're public, so they now have to deal with that sort of financial communication to the public at large. So, I mean, given the current climate, I mean, JNT may have taken the right precautions in terms of slashing its valuation and offering a smaller nominal pre-IPO. As the Indonesian tech ecosystem continues to mature, I think it would be important to take such precautionary measures before companies attempt a mega IPO in this climate so that we can see what a realistic outcome looks like and kind of demonstrate to the global investor class that liquidity events like IPO will continue to mature and be realistic exit scenarios here in Southeast Asia. Just wanted to understand what kind of concerns you might have about this, or if there's reason to be optimistic about the future of tech IPOs after looking at J&T's result.
Yeah, so I would say that for J&T, when I look at their, at least the announced investors in their cap table, it would seem that it is mostly strategic investors versus financial investors. You know, and if that's the case, then there may not be an exit horizon that was immediately needed in order for the company to IPO. So then the question is, why IPO? I think, you know, why IPO goes back to them needing to tap into what is, you know, the final kind of market for capital raising for most private companies, which is the public kind of retail market, right? Because, you know, private capital is probably tapped out, and perhaps the strategic investors were not willing to continue to put company into a private company without what is, you know, what would be considered fair value in the public markets as well. So perhaps it was not a choice as to whether they wanted to IPO or not. I think potentially they may have preferred to remain private, but it was a necessary action in order to raise the $500 million or so it needed in order to fuel its expansion and continued growth in new market opportunities. So, you know, what does that speak to in terms of the general IPO market? You know, I think, you know, the US tends to lead the world when it comes to technology IPOs. The IPOs that have happened in the past year, you know, be it in the US or even at back home in Indonesia, they have performed in lackluster performance. And so that is not a good signal for companies that, you know, would wish to go to IPO. I think overall, beyond price discovery of what is true pricing of what many of these companies are worth, I think it's extremely challenging for companies to go IPO right now unless they have already profitability or an extremely clear path to profitability. And hence, the only ones I think that are striving towards IPO are those which are forced by internal investors because of the requirement of fund exit time horizons, or those that have tapped out all kind of private capital markets, and an IPO is the only way now to raise additional capital.
That's interesting, though, for an Indonesian company. Previously, that would have just been unthinkable. It was M&A or bust, right?
I think at a certain scale of business where you have a potentially viable path to profitability, working towards an IPO, I think is something that is, you know, is a primary choice when it comes to an exit. You know, in this environment with interest rates the way they are, it makes it challenging, right? Because investors have, you know, other places to put their money versus something that is not money making and is an environment where capital appreciation is more challenging, right, with companies such as these. So I think it's going to be tough, at least for the next 6 months. I think yesterday the Fed had signaled holding rates versus raising rates again. And, you know, potentially this looks like holding rates for at least the next 6 months. And so I can't see IPOs or the IPO market opening up over the next 6 months. But second half of next year, perhaps, we'll have to wait and see.